This is a maze beat.
All right. Happy New Year, Breeze.
Happy New Year, Cash.
What's going on?
Nothing much, you know.
Is it still appropriate to say Happy New Year after like the 4th of
January? I do.
Oh, okay.
Well, I feel like that's good until January ends.
To the end of January. All right. Well, Happy New Year, people. Welcome to our Good and Grown podcast.
Yes, we hope you
stay a while and tell a friend to tell a friend and tell your kin to tell their kin.
Yeah.
We should talk a little bit about how we met.
Mm-hmm.
You want to start, Breeze?
I will.
All right.
So Cash and I met, Marcy.
We met at work.
We did. We met at work, and I remember it was during my performance review, and I was ridiculously nervous, and I was so happy to see a sister in the room because my manager did not bring me any comfort in the way that she looked. But no disrespect to her, but it is what it is. But I remember that the room just felt super uncomfortable, and Cash had cracked a joke, and then it was on from there. I knew after this was over that I would connect with her.
That is true. That's how we met. We met in a conference room. I think it was actually like an office.
It was a small office.
I think it had boxes in there. It was a very trifling setup,
right,
as I recall. I was doing quality at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was giving you your overview for the year. And your manager was giving you your summary about your performance and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
I remember you being super nervous. I think I did make a joke, something about, we not gonna put you in a closet and beat you. It's just feedback. It's not that serious.
Right.
I remember your manager being quite raggedy.
You didn't have to say that.
It was the truth. So I feel like, as a truth teller, I had to tell all the truth about what occurred. But yeah, she didn't like people to be comfortable. And I just was never of that school of thought. I feel like people can't receive feedback properly if they're nervous or uncomfortable. So I'm always about helping people as much as I can. And comfort is one of those things. So, you know, that's how we met for the first time. That's not how we became friends, but that's certainly...
Facts. Let's be abundantly clear. We'll get to more of that later.
Exactly. So why don't we tell the people a little bit about why we are actually podcasting? And why don't you start? Because, you know, I think it's the right thing to do.
I could not stand you. Well, I feel like for me, I felt like our conversations, or rather I feel like our conversations have always been very deep, thought-provoking, and maybe a little hurtful at times, but that's fine. And I think that the lessons that I've always taken away from them is something that I would love to share with others on a broader scope. And in terms of Black excellence, that's another reason why I'm looking to do this, is because the narrative is always that you're not this, you're not that, you're not enough. And we as a people, you know, my hope is that we would know that that's not the truth, but I don't think that everybody, I think that some people believe the hype. So I'm hoping that we can shout out everyone, whether you're a celeb, community activist, Black owned business. I just want to exalt Black excellence.
All right. I would say for me, there are a couple of different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
One of the first is I've always been a fan of radio. I've always been a fan of voiceovers, people who do voiceovers.
Mm-hmm.
I was always attracted to that. Shout out to my boy D, who used to be the DJ on WBRS.
Okay.
He did the secret spot for years and years and years.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one person that I actually knew that was in radio, even though podcasting is a different format. It's about the voice. It's about what you're bringing to the people, whether it be in the form of music, or opinion. Mm-hmm. And I think I happen to be a person that people come to in their time of need. Mm-hmm. I'm not always the first person, but I'm the last person because, like you said, I tell the truth. I tell the truth in love, though.
Right.
And a lot of my friends and family would say that it's harsh, and I'm sure that they call me names in their head. After the conversation, during the conversation, but I believe they always leave it with something that they can take back and better themselves.
Right.
So I'm not going to pet you up. I'm not of the school of thought that everybody deserves a trophy. But again, to your point, I think I really want this to be a positive place where we just uplift folks, mm-hmm. Especially those people of color.
Right.
Like, I want it to be a constant reminder that anything that you touch today, anything that you drive, anything that yes. you turn on a remote, anything that you touch mm-hmm. more than likely has been invented by the hands of a black person.
Come on now.
And I think a lot of the younger school, you know, millennials and younger, I think that they don't know that. I think we don't know mm-hmm. history a lot. So I just want to make sure that we're in a place that we're reminding us, we're reminding people, not just us, of how dope we are.
Mm.
That the majority of us can't hide our melanin,
ooh.
So we might as well embrace it. So whether it's news, society, your guidance counselor, your family, your neighborhood friends tell you you're not good enough, mm-hmm. I want this to be a space where you know that you're good enough. You're going to get a bi-weekly dose that tells you I am enough, yes. regardless of what people tell me. So we're not just resilient, we're worthy. And I just want us to have a really good and grown conversation about that.
Yes. So since we're talking about how we first met, I think that we should share with the audience some of our more memorable moments.
Okay.
From work.
Okay.
I want to start off with the holiday party.
Okay.
Or rather the after party to the holiday party.
Okay, you want to start off with a big
one? Yeah, I'm going to do that. So Cash and I had went to, we had just left our holiday party. We had a colleague with us. We'll call him Clive. So Clive was with us. We went over to a bar or restaurant or whatever it was.
Yeah.
That was nearby. Went there. One of our female colleagues of color had went out for a smoke break with someone else, a white colleague. She came back shortly there afterwards, visibly upset.
Mm-hmm.
And we're looking at her like, what's wrong? What's the problem? This white colleague said to this black colleague or woman of color, had said something along the lines of, you're pretty for a colored woman or for a colored girl.
She did.
I sat there in disbelief. I couldn't believe it. Then here she comes back in and she has the audacity to come sit down next to us.
She did.
First we're at the table, we get up because we weren't having it.
Exactly.
We get up, we go to the bar. She follows us to the bar.
Exactly.
She's harassing us throughout the entire night until we're like, you know what, I'm good. Like, let's just go.
But why do you think she was harassing us?
Because she knows she was wrong. That's why.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care how much alcohol in your system you had. You knew you were wrong, and that's why you were buzzing around us.
Mm-hmm.
And so when it was time to call it a night, because I was all set with the foolishness, we left out. Here you go. Here you go. I remember us leaving, and she's following us now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's holiday, so it's cold outside. She's following us. She's elevating her voice. I don't do well with that. I don't do well when you start to raise your voice at me, okay?
True, you don't.
And so I remember we walk into our car. Now the bouncers are outside speaking to us. I don't know why you're speaking to me, sir. You need to direct your attention to the person who's still at your establishment property, not me.
It's true.
And then Clyde, let me just backdrop. You all, Clyde never said nothing at work. You hear what I'm saying to you? Never says anything at work. Here he go, want to sit here and interject, amp up cash. Like, what are you doing? If you don't get your behind this two-door coupe right now, get in the back seat. Let's go. I'm all set with it, okay? So I remember, Cash, you were just, I'm gonna just let you pick it up from there because you were not here for it. You were not here for it.
Well, yeah. there were several reasons why I wasn't here for it. A, it wasn't said to me. So I was just like, it wasn't said to me, but I don't like what this woman said. I'm not going to really have a drink with you. I'm not going to play like we cool.
Right.
So if I feel like if someone walks away from you once and then twice and then a third time and you don't get the hint, I feel like you are starting to harass those people. Mm-hmm. I don't like to be harassed. I don't like for people to enter into my space if I don't want them to be there.
Right.
I don't like the fact that she followed us outside the bar.
Right.
This woman was older. She was yelling that she was from the projects.
Facts.
Which, what that means, sis, because you can get it whether, no matter where you are, no matter what station of life, I don't care. If you live in the suburbs, a person from the suburbs might knock your head off one day.
Right.
You don't know. So you screaming, you're from the projects, you're not scared, but you're the aggressor.
Right.
You're actually following us.
And saying that she has black friends. I don't understand why people do that. It's very annoying. I don't care how many black friends. I don't care if you voted for Barack. I don't care.
Exactly. Exactly. But at the end of the day, I'm going to need you to pipe down.
Right.
The bouncers did follow us out and they ended up directing their energy to her because you checked them very quickly. It was a lot. It was a lot going on that night. It was team too much.
Right.
I remember the next day coming into work, there was another black coworker who called me over, said he heard the story and wanted to know why I didn't knock this woman out when it wasn't said to me. And let's be clear. See, I'm getting upset like this just happened 2 months ago. This was many years ago. But at the end of the day, it didn't happen to me. It happened to someone else. So it was that person's duty to check the woman for what she said.
Right.
Now, she didn't check her. That's on her. You telling everybody that's black in the building what happened.
Right.
And like it was on me. Like I was supposed to come to your rescue.
Right.
Like, no, ma'am. You didn't send out the bat signal. Even if you did, I don't have a black suit with a mask to come beat people who get out of line when they drink too much.
Right.
So, that was a lot. That was,
it was a lot.
Our biggest thing that we went through at work that we that we shared together at work. It was definitely crazy.
It was too much though.
It really was. So now that we talked about where we had the most tumultuous time regarding work, let's talk about something that was totally opposite of that.
Yes.
Do you remember when Barack won?
Girl, listen here. Listen
that
here.
That evokes some feelings.
Listen here. You want to talk about bubbling over? Bubbling over was just black pride. It was just amazing. So I remember, if you just give me the time, I want to just rewind 24 hours before. Folks was in the office with their red blazers, with their American flag pins. I mean, like,
you
know, right. No one said who they were voting for, but you know. I mean, you know what it was. And so I remember the next day, of course, my president forever won. And when I tell you, And our establishment was always like very, I feel like the volume was always kind of loud. People were always chatting. You know what I mean? Right. Always. Yeah. It didn't matter which way of the office you was at. Somebody was always doing back and forth.
Yep.
But on that day, did they pay the rent? Is anybody here? I could not. You could literally hear a pin drop.
That's true.
The only people who wore smiles were people of color. Okay? We had a colleague, Charles is what I'm going to call him. Charles came in with the chocolate brown suit on.
Shout out to Charles.
Okay, Charles, you know who you are. Came in just as dapper. I mean, he always looks good, but he came in just as dapper.
Wait. Do you remember we named ourselves the Rainbow Coalition?
Yes!
We called ourselves Coalition.
The Coalition.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Okay. But I just remember that, and it was just, I couldn't believe it, but people seemed so somber.
They really did seem somber. It was jarring. It was disturbing almost. Mm-hmm. It was as if, you know, when a layoff happens and everybody starts texting or sending chats that 7, 8, 9, 15 people have already been laid off that morning, and the office gets real quiet, and all you can hear is the keyboard.
Right? Because now you want to be productive. Now you want to be productive.
Productivity is at an all time high on layoff day.
Yep. Always.
It was worse than that.
Yeah.
It was very quiet. It was very eerie. It was almost like the scene, like someone had been murdered. there that, you know, a couple of days ago, and we were just getting back to the office that day. Like, it was such a crazy time. And I think for me, because I had worked there much years, a lot of years before you had even come in. I think for me, I was more disturbed that, wow, I've known these people. I know about their children. I know about their life. These are people that I talk to all the time. I've gone out with, gone to dinner, had drinks. I've traveled with these people. And to see their demeanor change and shift, I said to myself, wow, what must you really think about me?
Right.
You know, is it okay because, you know, I'm not necessarily in a position of power that's either over you or what have you. But it shifted what I thought about the place that I spent most of my time. You spend most of your time. You're at work 8, 9, 10, sometimes more hours per day. Right. You're giving those folks a lot of your time. So to be in a place where I've always been comfortable, I've always felt good about it, it forever changed me that day.
Girl, truth. All right, y'all, we're about to wrap up, but we're going to go ahead and drop up a few workplace gems for you. Cash, you want to start us off?
Sure. I think the first one is leave your problems at the door. I'm like, we all have problems. Like, it's life. Like, sometimes life is good for a very long period of time, and then other times not so much.
Right.
But you don't need to bring in the fact that you were arguing with your spouse, the fact that your children have pissed you off, the fact that you want to yell at them over the phone, you want to yell at the teacher, you want whatever your issue is that you got going on, you got bills to pay. Like, we all have bills and things that we need to do. But when they say leave it at the door, most people roll their eyes, but it really is true. You really have to try to just leave your issues at the door. Come in as much as you can with a positive attitude. Because coming in, slamming around your telephone and keyboard and having stank energy in general, letting everybody else know that you got a problem and don't enter your domain, don't come near you, it shouldn't be that. Right. So, you know, if you have that kind of issue, work on that. Before you go in the door and say, okay, whatever's happening, I got to deal with after 5, or I got to deal with on my break or my lunch, like whenever you have time to do it. But in the office, giving your bad energy to other people, I think is unfair.
Right.
It's disrespectful, and you're not paying for your attitude.
Thank you. And can I just add to that, that it's like, seriously, when you think people are not noticing that, that you're having a bad day, they notice, because you're clearly not holding it together.
Right.
So just get yourself together, please. We all have issues, like Cash said, but
it's definitely true, and I'm not, I have children. I definitely have whisper yelled at them on the phone because I just had to. So, I mean, I get it, but it should not be a hole where everyone knows your business.
Right. No one needs to know all, and listen, I'm not exempt. I don't have children, but I'm not exempt. I've had plenty of bad days at work. You know what I mean? But that doesn't need to affect my conversations with my colleagues or the people I need to work with, who I serve, whatever the case may be. So just leave it at the door. All right, so our second gem is connecting with coworkers via social media. And see how you laughing? Because you know I'm not here for it. I'm not. No.
Your whole, if we work together, I don't know you on social media right. stance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. It's
why?
It's a factual statement. So, for me, the reason why, it's not because I don't like people. It's not like I don't enjoy connecting with folks. I do.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that we need to connect via social media because I'm not interested in seeing what you support or don't support in some cases while you're on social media. There's a certain type of liberty that we can take while we're on social media. You know, you can be as outspoken as you want to be, and that's great because it's your platform for do what you do.
But it's America.
Exactly. You know, absolutely. But I'm not interested in seeing it because I don't want that background noise in my head when I'm sitting across from you in a meeting. Not that I can't separate the two. I'm very professional.
Right.
Don't be mistaken, but I don't want to do the extra work.
Right.
So I'm all set with that.
You know, I used to disagree wholeheartedly with your opinion on this matter. I have changed it a bit. I kind of always, you know, had the ability to pick and choose who I chose on social media from work anyway. Folks that I didn't think that would, you know, snitch or say anything about what I had going on. Not that I had too many crazy things going right. on social media. I didn't. But just talking about it. But I did have an experience that changed my mind. And a former colleague put something up about all lives mattered. And this was back when the Black Lives Matter movement was in full force, when people were shutting down the highways and byways and freeways and streetways and breezeways and whatever kind of
everything
right way road you can get. And she wrote a couple of sentences about how she disagreed with the movement. And for me, I got very agitated that day. I was upset. I started to answer back as to why her opinion was wrong. And then I changed my mind and I said, you know what? This is this woman's opinion. I don't like your opinion.
Right.
So I'm going to disengage. And I ended up unfriending her. just like that. And it was done and over with. And so I forgot about it until I saw her again. So that experience picked up. She immediately looked at me. I looked at her because we knew what it was. And we moved on. We never discussed it or talked about it, but I have changed my mind on social media, so I agree. You have to have boundaries when it comes to that. So thanks for swaying my mind. Thanks for giving me a different way to think about it.
That's what I'm here for.
I would say, moving on to our next one, it really isn't a gem, it's a question. I just want to know, y'all, why is it that people that make popcorn, why can't they make it correctly? Why do you have to burn the popcorn? Why do you do that? What is the problem that you have that you say, I'm going to make this popcorn for 2 minutes, 4 minutes, whatever the appropriate time is. Why do you walk away and feel like I'm going to go have a conversation?
Listen,
I'm going to go to the restroom. I'm going to go to the printer. I'm going to do whatever it is besides stand here and maybe check my phone and make sure the popcorn is popping properly. Popcorn is not just about the time. It's about the sounds. Once it stops popping so much, once it starts slowing down, it's nearing the end. I'm gonna need Am I doing? I'm sorry. I don't mean to do too much, but there was a person in the office that every day at 3:20 used to burn his popcorn. I don't understand why. So I guess there is a gem in that. The gem is, if you want plastic popcorn, go ahead and stand at that microphone.
Be mindful. That's the gem. Be mindful, please, and consider it, because the smell just lingers.
It lingers. It smells good before it burns. But it's never as good as it tastes when you eat it anyway.
I'm all set.
So, good morning and good night to that. Okay. Sorry, y'all. You know, I just had to say, I'm sure there's someone in your office right now that burns their popcorn or burns their food in some way. Or microwaves it too long or brings in the wrong food. We not going to talk about bringing fish. We ain't going to go there. We talking about popcorn today.
Right, right.
But my gym actually is workplace snitches.
This is gonna be touchy.
Well, I really think everybody should mind the business that pays them.
Ooh, well,
if you're not paid to come in and be a snitch, I don't think that's been in any
job description
at all. The details of the job, I know it says sometimes other duties will be needed. However, I don't think snitching is a part of that. I don't think you should go to work with somebody else's business being your main focus. I think you should avoid trying to figure out other people's personal life, what they make, what they got for a bonus, what their kids are doing, if their husband cheated, if their kids are going to school, if they're cheating with this one or that one.
Right.
It's not your business. Now, will I say that I haven't been dropped a few jewels or other people's business that I haven't leaned my ear over and listened to? I've been trifling. I'm not saying I haven't been trifling. I know my faults.
Oh, gosh.
I'm talking about the folks that get to the office early to get the news, to spread the news.
Right.
I'm going to need you folks to get yourself together. I'm going to need you to stop being the eyewitness news of the office. I'm going to need you to stop being the cubicle watch for work. I'm going to need you to just mind your business. Just period. Mind your business, because the 9 times out of 10, those people that you are telling your business to is telling it to somebody else.
Exactly. Exactly.
I think that's a good segue, Breeze, into our final gem of the evening. Mm-hmm. And I'll just let you take it away.
Okay. So I wanted to talk about discernment in the office as it relates to mistaking really good work relationships for friendships. They are not the same thing.
Talk about
They're not the same thing. I say that because you don't want to share something personal with a colleague, particularly if it can negatively impact how others perceive you at work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that sometimes we get really comfortable. I think about the amount of time that you spend with people at work. So it's totally understandable how something like that can happen.
Mm-hmm.
However, it's just a word of caution, because everyone who smiles at you, they don't have your back necessarily.
That's
so
true.
Just keep that in mind.
I definitely would agree with that. I think you can refer back to a couple of gems that we've already discussed, which was A, when you're coming in and your emotions are all over the place. So our first gem, which is leave your problems at the door. So if your emotions are out of control, you may then mistakenly head on over to the workplace snitch, which was gem 4, and tell your business to, because that person may be the person that says what's wrong, what's happening, and you may be emotional and give some business out that you may not have necessarily done the day before.
Hello?
So,
hello, everybody. Are you listening?
Do you hear me, though? I love that one. I definitely think you should have discernment in the office. Now, we didn't become fast friends.
No. Say it.
We didn't become fast friends We became friends miraculously. Because it doesn't happen often.
No.
But we became friends, but it took time. It took trust. It took a lot of things that we went through to become, to say that we're beyond co-workers. We're actually friends. We don't work, we both don't work in the same place any longer. So that's one of the tips that you can include in saying, are you truly a friend of that person? Because hello, we still talk to each other even though you have left there, I don't know, what's it, 6, 7, 8 years
no,
ago?
No, it's been like over 10 years now.
Oh wow.
You see what I'm saying? I'm just saying, you all.
It takes a lot. It definitely takes a lot. So I agree with your sentiment of being mindful and using discernment. Great SAT words. Please. Great SAT
words. It's just a word of precaution. That's it. And on that note, y'all, it's a wrap. Thank you so much for listening to the first episode of Good and Grown. Please be sure to subscribe and follow us on Instagram at goodandgrown1. Cash, any parting words for the audience?
Yes, thank you guys for being here. We certainly enjoyed bringing you the show. We'll continue to bring you more content. We're going to bring you more gems, jokes, tips, and nonsense.
That's it.
And with that, we'll bring you a good and grown conversation. Mm-hmm. Cash and Breeze out.
Peace, y'all.